Hi, this is Katie Ellen, intuitive consultant, tarot reader and writer in the UK. I handle personal and business questions, and my work includes forecasting. And sometimes I do animal whispering readings on behalf of owners of animals, horses, cats, dogs. I've been reading professionally since 2006 and I blog about tarot and related subjects, astrology as well, at my blog, which is truetarottales.com. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about how I read the tarot. I work face-to-face in person for people in my area, which is Lancashire in northwest England. I work via Skype or telephone and by email. I don't do fairs or parties. My hat off to those who do, but I find I need a quiet place and I like to read one-to-one and I like to be able to give as much time as is needed to the person that I'm sitting with. We will finish the reading when we have got to the bottom of the problem or we've arrived at a place where the person thinks they see a way forward. Like a lot of us, I started with a Rider-Waite deck, the original one. I think somebody gave me a deck for Christmas. And I started reading then and there. Pull a card, see what I think it means just by looking at it. Then look at the book meaning in this little white booklet here. See how the two interpretations tally, what I thought it meant and what the book says it means. And what did that mean for answer to my question. Multiply this a few hundred times, add in a few books, and this was my self-apprenticeship for the next couple of years. These days I mostly work with the Legacy of the Divine Tarot, illustrations Shira Marchetti, on the Marseille Tarot, and I also work with playing cards, cartomancy. It pretty soon became clear to me that whilst every reader needs to familiarise themselves with the traditions of the tarot and use all the learning that's gone on before them, you will add to your own tarot vocabulary by working at the coalface. One early reading I did was for a lady who wanted to know from the tarot where should she work? And she meant literally in what room or space in her house should she work? The key card that emerged was the Eight of Swords. And I put it to her that the tarot suggested to her it was important that she did not work in a room that had any damp. And also she wasn't to work in a room that didn't have any windows. This seemed to surprise her quite a bit, and she said, how interesting, because she said she was thinking of converting her shower room into an office. Of course it was prone to damp because it had a wet floor every time somebody had a shower, and also it didn't have windows. So the tarot had obviously picked up on her thinking here and flagged her away from that idea. She said she'd better think about it some more. So now I knew that the Eight of Swords, in addition to the book meanings, you know, entrapment, helplessness and all the rest of it, could literally mean a shower room. And later, through further readings, I added to this list other keywords for the Eight of Swords, including drains, plumbing, toilets, basements, and a fear of lifts or elevators, depending if you're in the UK or the States. It's a lift or an elevator, isn't it? None of which of these new meanings may seem directly connected to the original meanings of the Eight of Swords, but there's a metaphorical connection when you think about it. Preparing to do a reading, I like to have a nice, clear space. I'm not big on ritual. I do prepare myself with a little prayer, you might say, or mantra that I say to myself before the client arrives, before I start to read. I ask Uriel, angel of the north wind, Gabriel, angel of the west wind, Michael, angel of the south wind, Raphael, angel of the east wind, to please help me see what most needs to be seen today, working with this person, and to say what most needs to be said for the highest good, harming none. Reading for someone else, my priority is to find out as fast as I can so that we can begin to address what it is this person most needs to know right now in order to move ahead, best foot forward, and not fall down a hole or land in a trap. Forecasting comes in later. I always look to start with where the person is right now. Of course, past, present and future doesn't sit in neat separate categories. It's like pulling up a plant. You pull up a plant, the roots come with it and there's soil on the roots. So I'm asking to understand somebody here right now, what's going on with them. Of course, I'll get some backstory too. And the spread I'll be using these days will probably be a simplified Celtic cross, 5 cards, north card, what's on the mind right now, left hand card, the western card, recent past, emotional aspects to the question, southern card, what do they want, what are they hoping for, physically how are they, the right hand card, east facing, what's on their mind, what's their thinking, what's their analysis. Also, there's a hint here of near future. Centre card, the crux of the matter for the client. What are the stakes? What's the big picture here? So this is my favourite tin opening spread that I'm using these days. When I was starting out, I did used to use the full Celtic cross a lot or a 9 card horseshoe spread. They work pretty well. But these days I find a smaller spread more agile, and then for more detail or to push the timeline forward for forecasting, I simply pull additional cards and add those on top of the existing 5 positions that I've got. The client always, but always, has a question, whether or not they are ready to tell me what that question is after I've given them my feedback about the first 5 cards. I always go first. I read cold, I give them my soundings and impressions of the first 5 cards, then I invite their feedback and their questions and we take it on from there. If they don't yet have a question or they don't yet wish to give me any feedback, well, I'll carry on and I'll either just pull extra cards and talk as I pull, or I'll complete a formal Celtic cross. But when the client does have a question and they're ready to share it from the off, I may use another favourite, very reliable and I found very accurate spread. It's a cartomancy spread used in reading with playing cards. It's known as the line of 5. Again, 5 cards laid out in a line, read them left to right. The left-hand card should reflect the question. The second card, recent history of that question. The third central card gives me the likely answer to the question. The fourth card indicates the next step or stage in this situation. And the fifth and final card has to be looked at very carefully in conjunction with the third central card for the overall answer and the reasons for it. So those are my favourite go-to spreads that I use mostly at the moment. The other thing I do is freestyle reading, where I simply pull loose additional single cards to either drill down for specifics or to expand the meaning of a card. I think the big thing for me, and the big thing I would like to finish this little audio podcast with, the thing that I found as hardest was learning to trust myself, particularly in reading with another person. Taking myself out of the equation was the hardest thing. There's a certain performance anxiety, there's a certain pressure to deliver. I found really this only resolved with time and experience. More and more I worked, the more I forgot myself in the process and understood it was never about me. It's not about me. It's not even me speaking in this moment. Not the everyday me. I'm nothing but a voice or a pebble on a shore. And that is very liberating. It sets me free to read without worry, without my worry getting in the way of what I see and what I say about it. You can read more about how I read the tarot at my blog, truetarottales.com. And meanwhile, thank you for listening. I wish you bon voyage with your own adventures of tarot discovery. Until next time.